From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On the previous program, Dr. Cairns began an exposition of Romans chapter 7, part of this extensive series in the epistle. This is a chapter that has been the subject of much debate among believers through the years. Some insist that the Apostle Paul was writing of his life as an unsaved man. In their view, no true Christian would have this kind of turmoil in his soul. Yet, Paul was as human as any of us, and as Dr. Cairns is seeking to show, he wrestled with sin throughout his life. But he also knew that victory over sin comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The law shows the sinner his need to be freed from what is essentially a covenant with sin and death. But it can do nothing to effect that deliverance. Only the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross can free a person from the penalty of his sin, which the law demands. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, Romans 7 is a setting forth of living under the grace of God, not under the law. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In every believer's heart, there is a constant struggle between the old nature and the new. The old nature is very active and loses no opportunity of plying all the weapons of its deadly armory against newborn grace. While, on the other hand, the new nature is ever on the watch to resist and destroy its enemy. Grace within us will employ prayer and faith and hope and love to cast out the evil. It takes unto it the whole armor of God and wrestles earnestly. These two opposing natures will never cease to struggle so long as we are in this world. The battle of Christian with Apollyon lasted 3 hours, but the battle of Christian with himself lasted all the way from the wicket gate to the river Jordan. The enemy is so securely entrenched within us that he can never be driven out while we are in this body. But although we are closely beset and often in sore conflict, we have an almighty helper, even Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who is ever with us, and who assures us that we shall eventually come off more than conquerors through him. With such assistance, the newborn nature is more than a match for its foes. Are you fighting with the adversary today? Are Satan, the world, and the flesh all against you? Be not discouraged nor dismayed. Fight on, for God himself is with you. Jehovah Nissi is your banner, and Jehovah Rophi is the healer of your wounds. Fear not, you shall overcome, for who can defeat omnipotence? Fight on, looking unto Jesus, and though long and stern be the conflict, sweet will be the victory, and glorious the promised reward. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray, tread all the powers of darkness down, and win the well-fought day.
Sound forth and
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. This chapter 7 is one of the vital passages in the Word of God on the relation of the believer to God's law. To some people, not being under the law means that they can live as antinomians. But Paul says, while we're not under the law, we are under the law to Christ. As we saw last week, while we're not slaves to sin under the law in Adam, we are slaves to grace and holiness under grace in Christ. So under the law and not under the law is not speaking about having to obey God or not having to obey God. It means something totally different. So this is a passage that's expounding what it means to be under the law. Now the chapter in itself is not difficult as far as analyzing it goes. It's one of those things that most people are fairly well agreed on. Even though they're not agreed on what each section says, they know where the sections fall. First section is the first 6 verses. The second section is verse 7 through 13. And then the third section is verse 14 through 25. In the first 6 verses, Paul shows us that the law works as a covenant in which it holds dominion over all those who are under it. But believers have been freed from that covenant by the death of Christ. It's the opening 6 verses. Then verse 7 through 14, the law works as a convictor of sin, which shows that the problem is not with the law, but with us as sinners. The law convicts of sin. And then verse 14 through 25, it says that the law shows us what is good, but it cannot enable us to do what is good. In fact, the law is as powerless to sanctify us as it is to justify us. Only grace can do that. Now, those are the 3 sections. We come to the first one tonight, these first 6 verses. Now, remember here, Paul is defending and explaining and applying his statement that you are not under the law, but under grace. In doing so, he makes a general observation. Verse 1, the law hath dominion, or the law lords it over a man, as long as he liveth. He makes a general observation. He then follows that with an illustration. The illustration of a woman and a man bound legally together in marriage. If the woman breaks her marriage vow and marries another, she's an adulteress. If her husband dies and she marries another, she's not an adulteress. So he gives an illustration of the fact that the law binds you as long as you live. And then, beyond that, he makes his application in verses 4 through 6. The application to prove that believers are not under the law, that they're under grace, and that being free from the law does not lead to sin, but it's the very first essential to true holiness. Now, that's the picture. Tonight what I want us to do is look at these 6 verses. The subject is very simple. It's why we sang our last hymn, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. That's what Paul's talking about here in the first 6 verses of Romans chapter 7. Now I have 3 very simple things to say about it. The old hands here will know not to get euphoric about it being very brief, because there may be a few things under the 3. But we are going to look at 3 very simple statements. First, I want you to understand the basic point that Paul is making here. And that is that the law holds all men in a covenant that only death can break. That's his point. The law holds all men in a covenant that only death can break. The law is a covenant binding all of us in Adam, all of us by nature. And it binds a man as long as that man lives. Nothing that man does can ever break that covenant. He may dispute it, he may deny it, he may struggle against it, he may do whatever he will, he may seek by righteousness and holiness in some way to change it. He cannot do anything about that covenant. The only thing that can break it is death. And Paul gives us the example of this in that illustration that I have mentioned of a woman married legally to a man. A wife who breaks her marriage covenant does not set herself free. A wife who breaks her marriage covenant and marries another, far from setting herself free, she is binding herself doubly to the condemnation of the law, because now she's condemned as an adulteress as well. You see, here is a stark description of the state of all men by nature. They are bound to the law as a covenant of life. They are bound to the law as a way of salvation. By nature, they are bound to the law, and it holds them in its grip. Do this or perish. Their obligation is to satisfy the entire law, both its precept and its penalty. Of course, they can never fulfill its precept, so they lie under its penalty. But they can never satisfy its penalty, so the condemnation goes on forever. The point that is being made here is that the law is a living force against all who are out of Christ. Put it this way, the law has claims on men, something like the claims of a betrayed husband. Put yourself back in ancient times when the penalty for adultery was death. Put yourself back in those ancient Jewish times. See the fury of a husband whose wife has adulterously broken her marriage vow. See him as he hunts for her, hauls her before the magistrate, sets her at the judgment bar, and sees her condemned to death for her sin. And when you've got a picture of all that in your mind, you have a picture of how a sinner stands under the law. The law holds that sinner in a covenant. Now, an adulterous wife may plead with the judge, but judge, I have done many other things that are good and right. I may be living in adultery, but I cook the best Mexican dish you can get. Could you imagine that in the Jewish days? Yeah. The Jews, well, I better not. Some of you are Mexican, the nicest Mexican food ever. But I do some things nice. I do his washing. Did ever a man be turned out better than this? Hold a second. Whatever you've done, you've broken the covenant of your marriage. You're under condemnation. You see, what I'm trying to say by this simple illustration is, a sinner under the condemnation of the law tends to come to God and say, but Lord, I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other thing. Do you not see? Yes, I see. You see, the law would leave you that no matter what you do, you've never done enough. You've never done anything right. You can do nothing right. You can never do enough. And everything you do is stained with the ultimate sin of being a lawbreaker. So you stand condemned and under judgment. And every effort to justify yourself only adds to your calamity. That's the natural state of sinners who are under the law. Under the law, pressed down by the law, tyrannized, lorded over by the law. But we may go further, as Paul does. Not only is it clear that sinners under the law can find no justification, but it's equally clear that they can find no sanctification and no victory over sin. The slander that Paul was answering, that slander against the gospel, was that it gives a license to sin. The Jews believed that the law helped to keep men from sin. Paul argues that it does not. The law doesn't keep men from sin. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. But let us all keep this in mind. When you're Christians making the big argument that what America needs is the Ten Commandments back in the schools. Now, I understand that there's a deeper thing here. There is fighting a whole cultural bias, and I am all in favor of fighting that bias. And it is iniquitous to ban the Bible, or the commandments, or the Lord's Prayer, or the name of Jesus Christ, or anything else Christian from the school systems or any other system in this nation. It's an iniquitous thing, and it will damn the country. I understand that. But the problem I see is that Christians tend to make the next so-called logical step. If we can only get the commandments back, things will be so much better. When did the commandments ever make anybody holy? It's the gospel we need to get into those people. That's what we need to get. Nothing else will do the job. You see verse 5. Paul says, by the law, the motions or the passions of sin work in the sinner's members. The passions of sin work. They are stirred by the very law that condemns them. We'll come to that somewhat later as we look down Romans chapter 7. As I looked at this, I realized here you have a picture of a disastrous marriage. The sinner married to the law. The sinner joined to the law in a marriage covenant for life. It's a disastrous marriage. On the one hand, you have a righteous but tyrannical husband, the law. On the other hand, you have an ungodly and rebellious wife, the sinner. The law exposes and condemns and commands, but the sinner reacts by plunging ever more deeply into the very passions that the law prohibits. And from all this, you know one thing is clear. The law produces neither the peace of acceptance with God nor the practice of holiness in the life. It's only fruit. The fruit of the marriage of a sinner to the law is dread and death. The law holds every man in that covenant. I want you to stop there. If you're in this meeting tonight outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you stand. Before a holy God, wedded to the law as a covenant of works. No hope of heaven except by your own personal, perfect obedience to God's law and your own personal, perfect satisfaction of the penalty you've already incurred for every infraction. The case is hopeless. With the result that the condemnation of the law mounts against you every day, and your own bitter rebellion mounts against God and His law every day. And yet that's where you're bound, without any way out.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, You may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.